On Blog Talk Radio. I'm Ngoni Al, standing in for Mr. Talk today. Hope everyone is having a great day, and thanks for coming. You can join us by calling 347-838-8622, or you can join the chat room by going to blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. Well, we're looking forward to hearing your favorite quotes today and hearing why you picked them as your favorite quotes. So to get the show started, I'm going to go ahead and start Mr. Talk's Thursday mix. You know, him and his music director always give us some great sounds to get us started and get our blood pumping. So here we go, today's Thursday mix.
I'm packing up my game and I'ma head out west, where real women come equipped with scripts and fake breasts. Find a nest in the hills, chill like Flint, buy an old drop top, find a spot to piss. Then I'm a kid, rock it up and down your block, go with a bottle of scotch and watch lots of crotch. Buy a yacht with a flag saying chillin' the most, then rock that bitch up and down the coast. Give a toast to the sun, drink with the stars, get thrown in the mix and tossed out of bars. I wanna roam, find Motown, telling fools to come back home. Start an escort service for all the right reasons, and set up shop at the top of Four Seasons. Kid rockin', I'm the real McCoy, and I'm headed out west, because I wanna be a cowboy, baby,
with a top left back and the sunshine shining.
Cowboy, baby,
west coast chillin' with the moon.
I wanna be a cowboy, baby. Train rolls in, it goes like dust in the wind. I once was lost,
but now I'm just blind.
Palm trees and weeds, scab knees and rice. Get a map to the stars, find Heidi Fleiss. That if the price is right, then I'm gonna make my bid, boy, and let California hate. No one to call me.
girls round here don't listen to the Beatles run. Old Bo Seifert threw a jukebox needle at the honky-tonk where they boost on all night. What?
Right.
Yeah, and walk to call work, digging in the dirt. Gotta get it in the ground before the rain come down to get paid to get your girl in your four-wheel drive. Yeah, the boys round here drinking that ice cold beer, talking about girls, talking about trucks, running them red dirt roads out, kicking up dust. The boys round here sending up a prayer to the man upstairs. Backwoods legit, don't take no shit. Shoot a back, a shoot a back, a shoot a back, a spit. Aw, heck. Well, the boys around here, they're keeping it country. Ain't a damn one know how to do the Dougie. No, I'm not in Kentucky, but these girls around here, yep, they still love me. Yeah, the girls around here, they all deserve a whistle. Shaking that sugar sweet as Dixie Crystal. They like that yawlin' southern drawlin'. Just can't help it cause they just keep falling for the boys.
Had a car is after I dropped my mama off where she needed to go. Football ties with the ceiling falling and the window stuck, but the only thing that I cared about was the radio. We turn it on, turn it up to 10, and everybody would jump on in. Riding down the highway, who wants to be the DJ? I'll find a spot on the side of the road. Find something on the radio, like a real, real good song. We'll know it when it comes on. Didn't have no money, no place to go. All we needed was a radio. Whoa. I grabbed my girl. We'd look for somewhere to watch the stars. The perfect place. Put it in park and take it slow. She sang along to even the ones that she barely knew. She still sounded good a little loud or two, but we didn't care. I'd look at her, she'd look at me. I'll never forget that melody. Riding down the highway, who wants to be the DJ? I'll find a spot on the side of the road. You find something on the radio, like a real, real good song. We'll know it when it comes on. Didn't have no money, no place to go. All we needed was a radio. Hey, y'all, be quiet. That's my favorite song. Hey, man, turn it up loud. Come on, come on.
All right, y'all, that was Thursday Mix. You know, Mr. Talk and his music director always gives us some good sound. That was Kid Rock. The song title is Cowboy. The second was Blake Shelton, The Boys Are Here. And the last one was Darius Rucker, and the song title was Radio. That sounds like some good Texas music. Thank you, Mr. Talk. All right. Well, I'm going to bring my co-host in, and I have a surprise guest here with me today. I'm excited to hear from them. It's been a long time. So here we go. Welcome, Antoinette.
Hello, Sister Agonia. Hello, everyone.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I'm sorry,
like
let me get my speaker.
To Enjoying Life, guest 1714, guest 1724, and Brother Tshaka in the house. All right.
Brother Tshaka, okay. I just want to make sure I say his name correctly.
Yes,
Brother
Tshaka. Yes. So, Miss Antoinette, have you brought a favorite quote to share with us today and something that's going to make us raise our eyebrows?
Well, not a quote, but a question.
Oh, all right.
What happened to manners, and when and where do you drop manners off?
Well, speak on it for us. What do you think about it?
Well, you know, we have the tendency to always question children, you know, where are their manners? But then when you look at the adults, what happened to their manners? But you expect children to have manners. So where does manners leave off at?
That's a good question, Antoinette. I think you will probably agree that there's been a lot of changes in our society. And just in the past few years, I've noticed a lot of changes in our environment, in the society, which always affects children. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that we lost respect for ourselves. And in turn, that's what's been thrust upon the children, that I don't see where they really have that respect anymore. You know, for me is, you know, more my grandchildren, but just a little. I mean, it's just when I see children, you just don't see the level of respect that, of course, you know, I'm traditional. I like staying old-fashioned. I like that area. But I was just thinking, you know, where are people's manners at?
Well, you know, today's society, we have a lot of latchkey kids, I think they're called. I don't mean any disrespect by using that term, but basically, you know, a lot of children are being raised in front of the TV, and we definitely haven't had, probably for a generation or more, the kind of traditional upbringing with a mother and father in the home that you were honored to have and blessed to have. I was also. So, you know, I definitely agree that, you know, culture makes the difference in what we see today, you know, in the children.
Yeah. So that's why I was wondering, is it more of a geographic area, you know, like when we seen the little boy that was cursing and carrying on? But I don't think it, because I, you know, all children, I think people, you know, say a curse word around them or teach them a little curse word, but it's just, I mean, even when on these shows, you know, your show, you know, Ron Rex show, you know, all the different shows, people have that, you know, just at times where people can be very disrespectful to one another or about a certain group. You know, women disrespecting men disrespecting women. You know, where does manners leave at? You know, where do you drop your manners at? And, oh, you know, I can just be whatever.
Well, Antoinette, I think the only thing we can do about that is try personally and individually to set the proper example. What do you think about
yes.
that?
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead, Antoinette.
Yes, I agree. We do need to do that, is to set the example. But, I mean, it was just something I've just been curious about, you know. Where did manners drop off at the door at? And not
well,
just with the, not really the children, but the adults.
Well, I know from talking to you earlier today, you had the great privilege of listening to Brother Robert X out of Chicago. And,
yes.
I also listened to his video. I'm so happy to have discovered him, and later I'm going to do my best to put some links in the chat room for those who may be interested, because he has some great research about how our society is being affected in many different ways, you know, all facets of
yes.
our life. It's a deep topic, and hopefully one day I spoke to Mr. Talk, and we're looking forward to getting him on as a guest one day soon.
Oh, that would be wonderful. That
yes.
would truly
well,
be wonderful.
Thank you, Antoinette. Well, I don't want to bring in Brother Tshaka until you get a chance to do it. Did you have a quote you wanted to share or no?
Well, not really. No.
Okay.
So I'm anxious to speak with Brother Tshaka.
All right, well, I'm going to open up his line right now and welcome him to the Mr. Talk Show and thank him so much for stopping by. It's been a long time, Brother Tshaka. How are you?
I know. Hotep Queen, how are you, ladies?
I'm wonderful.
What's
been
going
on?
Hello, Tshaka. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, ma'am? And, yes, I do have a quote. I have a favorite quote. If you'd like to hear it, I would love to share it.
Absolutely,
yes,
and excuse me, Antoinette, for not introducing you to Brother Tshaka. But now
you've
met.
Right. I got it.
All right, thank you. Yeah, Brother Tshaka, share it with us.
Okay. It's this. The plantation is cognitive, as is the escape route.
Wow, that is so true.
Could you repeat that, please?
Yes, ma'am. The plantation is cognitive. It's all in our heads, as is the escape route. They're synonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And once yes, we understand this, we can begin to be free mentally. It's psychological abolitionism, which we just discovered last month. And I'm glad for the opportunity to share it on Let's Talk.
Oh, wonderful.
So wonderful to hear your voice and to share something like that. You know, it brings to mind, Brother Tshaka, Mr. Talk played a clip for us yesterday by Stefan Melanou, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, out of Canada. And the title of the video is The Story of Our Enslavement. And his last words of that video were, to see the farm is to leave the farm. So basically, I think you're saying the same thing.
Absolutely, the exact same
yeah.
thing. Exactly.
Yeah.
To come up with that small phrase, the plantation is cognitive, as is the escape route, we had to understand the Underground Railroad as it existed then and as it exists now. I'm calling you from Southeast Ohio, Putnam, the home of the abolitionists. In fact,
oh, wow.
in order to do that, we had to understand John Brown's assault at Harper's Ferry, and then understand that John Brown had a brother-in-law that's never been put in the books, never been talked about. It's been suppressed. John Brown handled the physical assault. His brother-in-law, Samuel Clow, handled the psychological assault, which we just discovered that.
Brother Tshaka, what do you mean by they handled it?
Yeah.
Well, circa 1856, in Akron, Ohio, John Brown and his brother-in-law, Samuel C. Clow, sat there and figured out the plan how to end chattel slavery, but they also understood there's psychological slavery, and that's far worse. So they had to come up with a plan. Them, along with Frederick Douglass, who was here, where I'm standing.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. The great General Tubman, we know her as Araminta Tubman. They had to come up with a plan, but not let the mainstream society, including the media, know about it. So they hid it in a town. That town is called Newcomers Town. Ohio is the first town in America to create a Martin Luther King Drive. The one in Chicago was set by Mary Daly. That was to placate the black community in 1968, preparing for the Democratic convention. But that plan is manifesting now as we did some research and figured it out. And there it is.
Yes, I know, Brother Shaka, Brother T. Shaka, you have done some extensive work over the years. I wish you would please share that with our audience, how you got involved in the Underground Railroad, and tell us a little bit about your journey to Ghana and what you were doing with the hip-hop people over there. Please share with us.
Absolutely. Okay. I hold a Grammy in Black Radio for articulating the thoughts and ideas of black people through music, which I received from Berry Gordy in 1994. Also received a mandate that on that same night from the godfather of Black Radio, who is Jack Gibson. May he rest in peace. We had to figure out how to save our music to save the people. To do that, you have to research it. So I linked up with the great Underground Railroad historian out of Marietta, Ohio. Excuse me. His name is Henry Robert Burke. May he rest in peace. He passed about a year and a half ago. And we went from Southeast Ohio, Putnam, to Ghana in research, did a research over there, brought it back, analyzed it, and then went back again to quantify the research and brought it back here to Ohio. Long story short.
Well, thank
process,
you.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You go right ahead. Go with your flow.
Well, sister, it's a 400-year research story that I'm trying to convey in just moments, but it's a matter of researching our culture, our history, our heritage, and our music, and bringing it to the forefront. And we have discovered that in our music, there's already a trail. If you recall certain things, the OJs, Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah.
These are Ohio people coming straight out of the Akron area, which is also the home of Oberlin, which is the abolitionist stronghold, and they've been sending messages to us throughout all these years musically.
That's powerful.
And that's also how they did when they were in slavery through their songs and everything. They were coded.
Exactly. Exact same thing going on right now in plain sight. And if you're not cognizant of this, if you're not awake and aware and conscious, you're never going to see it, which is an excellent plan, and it's working.
Well, it's
right
not
now.
Working on everybody. There are people
not everybody. Well, no, not everyone, but what we're getting is, and it's designed to affect those who are trying to escape mentally. The magic is the music. And it's right in front of us.
And as the OJ said, we have a message in our music.
Bingo.
Was it them that said that?
Absolutely.
There's a message in our music.
Bingo.
So,
yeah, that's a good point. Brother T. Shaka, would you please make sure to share your Facebook page in the chat room for the audience so they can check out all the wonderful work over the years that you've been doing? And can you tell us a little bit about how rescuing of the, I believe it was a church? Can you tell us a little bit about the church and the building,
well,
how you?
Well, okay, two churches. The thing is, something's going on with my computer, so I can't get in the chat room right now.
Okay, well, you're in here. I mean, you may not be able to do anything, but you are in the chat room.
Oh, I am? Oh, well, I can't see it. But on this street, Okay, first of all, Newcomerstown, Ohio, is the only town in America that has that name, meaning you can find Albany, New Albany, this and that. Do your research. You're not going to find a Newcomerstown anywhere in America other than right there, which is why they put it there, knowing that sooner or later, we'd figure it out later. And we did, which is why the community then, in 1968, made the first Martin Luther King Drive right under the nose of the oppressor. And it sits there today, right now. And on that street, small street, black and white community, which of course is an abolitionist community, you have two churches. One is the African Methodist Episcopal, AME. Mm-hmm. The other one is the Trinity Baptist Church. However, it is really the African Baptist Church.
What they did was the first, pastor there was Reverend Poindexter.
You mean Richard Allen and Absalom Jones?
No, for the Baptist Church, not for the Methodist
Church.
Sure.
Is it? Okay.
He was a barber and a preacher, and he ran for senator only because he was white, black, and Indian.
Was he related to you, Antoinette?
Yes.
Wow.
Great. I just learned something. Thank you.
Yeah, I knew that he was in Ohio when he was very active in that. They even named two housing apartment complex and then a senior complex after him.
Well, I had the opportunity. Let me give the Facebook page, because there's documents there that you're not going to see anywhere else, but they're hidden in plain sight. Some of them are in the picture section. Some of them are documents, and there's a couple of videos. And that's ITB Ohio on Facebook.
ITB.
ITB, which is short for Information Technology Board of Appalachia, a.k.a. the Underground Railroad Part 2. That's what you'll be looking at.
Now, Brother Tshaka, excuse me for interrupting, but I'm going to try to type that in the chat room for you since you're having difficulties. And would that be facebook.com/ITB Ohio?
I believe so. Absolutely.
Is it case sensitive?
Is it Living in Black Ohio, Living in Black OTB Ohio Facebook?
It's just ITB Ohio.
Okay. No, it was two. That's the reason why I asked.
Oh, thank you, Antoinette. You got that?
I'm getting it. Tshaka. Yep, I got it.
Thank you so much.
Give me a second, and I'll put it in there.
Yes. The thing is, yes, go right ahead.
Well, I wanted to ask you if you could share the story you shared with me about when you went to Ghana, what you discovered. You told me about the some place over there where you actually saw a site where they hid.
Yes.
Can you tell that story?
Yes. If you go to the city of Accra in Ghana, go near the circle. I believe it's the Kwame Nkrumah Circle, you know, the big statue and all that. Not far from there, there's a stadium in that area. There's an art center. It's called the Art Center, where the tourists come in and we buy trinkets and whatnot. And we come back to America talking about how African we are. But if you go right over the hill, you're going to find people living there. And over the hill, there's a tunnel which actually leads from the Kwame Nkrumah statue out to the beach, where they were smuggling our people through there, through this tunnel, onto these slave ships that were pulling up at night, taking our people. In fact, you can still smell but you can still smell the sinew, the death. That's how many people came through there for about 300 years. That you can go there, it's right there today. And the person that lived there over this little, it's a tunnel. His name was Mensah Guinea. which is why they called it. If you look up the coast of Guinea, you're not going to find why it's named so. People aren't stupid. When people come in and research Africans, the people on the ground are not going to give their enemies the information that they need. They're only going to give it to people who care. That person's name was Mensa Guinea. And what he was a black man, African, but he's selling slaves. It's easy for him to do that because he's black. And that's what he did. His name was Mensa Guinea. You're not going to find it in any book. Because the information that we work exclusively within the community. Therefore, we're privy to information unknown by contemporary scholars. They just don't know. Mensa Guinea. He's, to me personally, he's worse than John Hawkins or his cousin and all these slave traders because he had access and the trust of the people. That's what we call today a serious sellout, what Malcolm called a house nigga at a high level.
Our brother Tshaka, Mr. Talk, he didn't let us say that word on his show.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's what X said.
No, you didn't know.
A plantation thing, yes, I'm sorry. It's a plantation thing.
I understand. Yes.
Yes.
So this Hawkins person, you see, you're very adept in the histories. Can you elaborate just a little bit on what you mean? You said he sold out. Can you give us a little bit about that?
Yes. Okay. Offhand, John Hawkins was one of, if not the top slave trader, and he had a cousin. His name escapes me, but they were cousins. John Hawkins, they were cousins. So they're transporting lots and lots of slaves. But they couldn't do that unless there was someone on the ground who looked like the people, thought like the people, and allowed them to access to slaves, to enslaved people. That would be Mensa Guinea, which is why you have the slave castles right there, Cape Coast, Elmina, and I'm just speaking of those two. Of course, we can go on with Gory Island, but right there, Cape Coast and Elmina shipped so many people, it's even hard to fathom even today. Just incredibly hard for my brain to wrap around that type of evil.
Yes,
Drake.
Indeed.
His name was Drake. John Hawkins and Francis Drake. They were cousins.
Okay. Yeah, you mentioned Elmina, but the audience may not know that Elmina is a town where there's a large slave dungeon and on the Gulf of Guinea. And you mentioned something else, can you remind me?
Yes. Well, Elmina, of course, if you ever go there, it's a slave castle. There's also a church inside the castle. But I won't get into that right now. But if you go near the tunnel.
I'm sorry, Brother Tshaka. I didn't mean to speak over you. I find it curious that you refer to it as a slave castle.
Well, whatever the terminology.
Yeah, dungeon. How about it?
Yeah, dungeon. And a lot of people don't know that there's an underground portion to that dungeon as well. So when the oppressor would capture people and bring them to the dungeon, our warriors would follow them and go to the dungeon and say, well, where's our people? Well, they let them look around. Oh, well, they're not here. And our people would go away because they had them underground. But we had no concept of what we call here basements and cellars and that type thing. So we weren't looking underground, and that's where they kept them. Then they pull them out at night and ship them off. And also,
well, Brother Tshaka,
ma'am.
I went inside the dungeon, so I would like to know. I know you did too. I would like for you to share what did you feel when you went in there?
Standing in front of that skull and crossbones symbol where they kept the males, and I stood there, and I'm looking at this, and I'm a grown man, so I rarely cry. Well, that's the time. And you can still feel the energy, the cries that the people must have been doing at that time. They would put them in. They would put them in this little. It's not large, but they would put the bad ones in there, the ones who wanted to rebel, and left them in this little room for 3 months. Then come and pull the body out, let them starve to death, let them eat each other or whatever. It's just incredibly sad and nasty, and you can still feel it today, which is why my voice is changing, because it hurts. It hurts to the bone, to the core. It's so incredibly
nasty. Yeah, Brother
Shaka. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, and they said there's inches, layers of debris, and I don't want to get graphic, but
right.
Actually layers of
yes.
of remains over the hundreds of years that they trafficked. Also, when you say little room, I want to be a little bit more descriptive for those who have not had an opportunity to have that experience. That actually, an adult couldn't stand up in those
mm-hmm.
places.
Mm-hmm.
So they were unable to stand up, and there were little slits, open slits to let air in, but there was no real window or anything. And they were small enough so that, of course, they couldn't escape. But Brother Shaka, when is the last time you had a chance to travel there?
2008 was my last visit to Ghana, and I'm hoping my
okay.
next one would be 2014. This year is my goal, or
yes.
our goal as a group, and which is for me why. And I did watch the movie 12 Years a Slave. And I listened to the hype before I watched the movie to see if it was really going to be accurate. And they downplayed the brutality. I know people say, well, it was very brutal. That's nonsense. They downplayed the actual brutality of what physical chattel slavery is. They're still downplaying it. It's so terrible. I'm telling you, it's just really incredible to try to grasp how people could treat other people in that manner for so long as a means to glorify their God, basically. Really, really incredible. And while I'm at it, near that tunnel that I mentioned previously, if you stand there at the beach in Ghana, Accra, right now, if you look in the right spot, you're going to see a mast sticking up out of the ocean. We have bones of our people there right now. Right now. And they shouldn't be there. They should be excavated. They should be respected. And not one historian I've talked to has known anything about this. Not one that I've talked to. But they're there right now. And we need to go get them.
Yes. Well, Brother Shaka, I want to thank you sincerely with all my heart for being here today and sharing with us about the incredible work you've been doing over the years and about your travels and experiences there, traveling to Ghana. And I'm sitting in as a co-host today, and the host, the owner of the show, Mr. Talk, he left a topic for us to discuss today. So I'm going to have to open up the lines for people that want to come in and share their quotes of the day, and I want to thank you for sharing your quote of the day. And since the chat room is filled up, before we move on, could you please share that quote with us one more time so everybody can hear it?
Yes, dear Queen. The
thank
plantation
you.
Is cognitive, as is the escape route.
Yes. That is, I don't know what else to say. I mean, that says it all.
Long live the legacy of the railroad. And please look up Henry Robert Burke. He is the unsung Underground Railroad historian of our time. His page is still up there. You can do the research.
You say it's on Facebook, the page you're talking about?
Yes, ma'am. Henry Robert Burke. Well, yeah, it's on Facebook, and he's got some websites still up there. I think his wife is maintaining it. And she's a Stowe, a relative of a Harriet Beecher Stowe. And it gets deeper. I know you don't have time, but it gets a lot deeper. Please log on to the Facebook.
Well,
take a look at it.
I really want to thank you again and invite you back to share with us, and hope you'll come back on a regular basis. So
yes,
with that said,
please do. And please don't leave now. Please stay.
Oh yes, please. And join
right
the discussion.
Yes, please.
Hey.
At your service, Queens.
Pardon?
At your service.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to open up the lines. I don't know who we have here. Is this Mr. Beasley?
No. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. What do you mean, no, Mr. Beasley? How are you today?
Because I didn't hear it say unmute it, and there could be someone else from a 111 number.
Don't be with me. How are you today?
I'm spectacular, but I'm
as
getting
always
better.
Great
and
to hear your voice. Did you bring us a quote today?
Yeah, I have two quotes.
Okay.
And they're going to be nowhere near as heavy as the gentleman from Ohio that just spoke's quote, but there's still some substance there. A lot of substance. The first one is, I played hooky from school just to be with you. I put my trust in you because you can do the do, because you can do the do, because you can do the do. That's the Ohio
Players.
That's the Ohio Players.
Yeah.
He fired me when he started talking about Ohio and music. And that came to my head. I repeat it. I played hooky from school.
Sing it. Sing it, Beasley.
I played hooky from school just to be with you. I put my trust in you because you can do the do. Because you can do the do. Because you can do the do. I can't sing, but that's how they sung it. That's the Ohio.
Yes, I remember.
He played hooky from school. He left his education to be with this girl. And to be with this girl, and he put his trust in her because she was adept, you know, because she was adept at lovemaking. And the title of that song is Jive Turkey, so, you know, it just didn't work out that well.
Yeah, I remember that song well. I love that song.
That's not as deep as the slave ships and the Middle Passage and Ghana, Accra, Ghana. But it's just what came to my mind.
Deep to me.
Well, Mr. Beasley, I didn't get to hear it because I was, talking to someone.
Man, I'm not singing it again.
I just want to thank you, and you said you had two.
I've got one more.
Yeah, and don't worry about, we're not going to measure how deep anything is. We're just going to enjoy everybody's quotes because it's their favorite, and we're glad
you're
sharing.
They're deep to me
because
they mean something.
That's
mean
right.
Something. They can hit home with you. My second quote is, good things.
Are you there, Mr. Beasley?
I'm thinking of the quote.
Oh, okay. I thought you dropped.
Oh, good things goes. Oh, God darn it. I can't remember it.
It'll come back.
Good things come to those that stay on their toes. Don't you ever stop. Always keep it hot.
Who is that by, Mr. Beasley?
That's Cameo.
Oh, okay. That's a group. The group, the musical group, Cameo.
I'm on a musical thing today. Good things come to those that stay on their toes. Don't you ever stop. Always keep it hot.
Hey,
I don't remember that song.
That's a message of perseverance. And
yes,
then if you're alert,
I don't remember the song.
Well, man, always keep it hot. You're as old as I am, Antoinette.
I don't remember that one, Beasley.
All right, well, it's there. You can find it. You can Google it. It's called Keep It Hot. But good things come to those that stay on their toes. Don't you ever stop. Always keep it hot.
Oh, I'm definitely going to look that one up.
Yeah, keep it hot. Cameo. Just some simple
messages.
Yeah, because
I like Cameo.
Of course you do. Like the Ohio Players, too.
Oh, yeah. I love the Ohio Players.
The Ohio Players.
And OJs and...
I Want to Be Free.
Yes.
I love the Ohio Players and Cameo. I just thought I would... Those are my quotes for the day. And I didn't need a book for those.
Well, thank you.
No. Mr. Beasley, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for allowing me to share. And please excuse my singing, but I just felt the spirit.
It was good. It was fine.
Like
you
pretty nice
fine.
Voice, me.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Not really.
You just didn't let go and really put all of it in there.
Well, I gave all I had.
Okay. Mike is saying it's like candy. That's another one of Cameo's.
Yeah.
Candy. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we've got Michael on the line. So I'm going to open up his line here and see what quote he wants to share with us today. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, Nagoni, everyone, Antoinette, Beasley, and
hello,
your wonderful guest we
Michael.
Have today.
Doing
I heard the
good?
Gentleman speak. Pretty good. I heard the gentleman speak. He made some very valid points. You know, the European was amazed when to trade something, the African said, hey, take my brother that looks just like me. He was amazed. It showed power. You know, some when people have control, and it get to my quote, when people have power, they'll do anything. They want to flaunt that power. They want to show that they have more power than you, unfortunately. And but, Nagoni, my quote of the day is basically that. If you want to know a person's true character, give them some power. Abraham Lincoln.
That's right.
No.
And that's a factual statement.
That's true.
All of it to come out, whether they like you, their hatefulness, their love, their fairness, their consideration, all of that, give them some power. It'll
you're
all
right
come out.
You know what, Michael? That reminds me of Mr. Beasley's quote the other day when he was talking about the monkey. Remember Mr. Beasley?
I do remember that.
Something about the higher they climb, the more are the monkeys behind, you see?
Yeah, that's related. That fits in with what Mike said. Yeah, that fits in.
Yeah, what do you think, Mike? You think that's related?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People show their ass, you give them some power.
You think it's human nature?
Not everybody. Some people are more secure than others.
That's true.
When I can relate to
the other day. Some people may be greedy with it. We learned the other day, some people may be greedy. So,
that's true. I remember, and Brother Tishaka, please help me out with this one because I think I'm going to mess it up. But it was by Dr. John Henry Clark. He used to say that history first should teach us to be a responsible handler of power. Did I say that right, Brother Tishaka?
I believe so. I do believe
so. Okay. I got close anyway.
Well, can I ask the question?
Absolutely.
Regarding power, do you think that could be a sign of a person that is a narcissist?
Narcissist?
Yes.
Narcissistic?
Yes.
Someone that constantly strives for power in the spotlight, definitely. I would say all politicians are narcissistic.
Yes, I would agree with you on
that.
There's
a lot of people out there that are narcissistic. They constantly want to be in front of the camera. They constantly
yes.
want to be noticed. That are constantly putting, you know, publicity stunts.
Yes, good or bad.
I don't really think it's good.
No,
it's not,
I'm saying good or bad. It doesn't matter as long as they're getting
right.
that attention.
Any kind of attention. Any kind of attention.
Yes.
Reminds me of another quote.
Go right ahead and share.
The Macs are in the back and the chumps are in the front.
The Macs
you can't
are in
elaborate
the back.
On that. I don't get that.
Yeah. Please do.
The little street. Well, the related to the entertainment industry or even to politics, the true power, the Macs, the ones that are masterminding and pulling strings and figuring things out, they're behind the scenes. They have no need for the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
But the others, the chumps, the ones that get constantly manipulated and played, but they may get the fame and the light, they're in the front. Think of it in terms of like the entertainment business or even boxing. You know, look at someone like Don King or Bob Arum. These guys have been able to be in the boxing business for 40, 50 years and never really had to fight anyone physically. The fighters come and go. No fighter's career lasts 40 years.
Right.
Yeah. So the brains, the Macs, they're in the back. Politicians, too.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking was
true
politicians.
Power lie with the guy that you see, you know, in front of the camera giving speeches or the people that don't need to be
right.
seen that really orchestrate and control things.
Right, because the face is just the face of it. They just putting you out there as the face. But this in Hollywood, even in any business, the people that's behind the scenes that you don't know their name, they're the ones making the most money. That is a fact.
Exactly. The Macs are in the back and the Chumps are in the
look
front.
At the movie theater. Right, exactly. See. Yeah. The producer, exactly the producer. So they put you out there. You know?
So I have a question. It's kind of off the topic a little bit, but Mr. Beasley, have you traveled to Ghana?
Yeah, I have, but a long time ago. I was a child. I went with my mother in 1972. We have a cousin there. I don't know if he's even still living, and he's a dentist. And after getting estimates of what dental work would cost, here in the U.S., it was cheaper to go ahead and take the trip. We went and stayed for 9 weeks. We also went we were supposed to go a lot of places, but we liked Ghana so much. We also went to Togo, Mount Palame, and to Dahomey, which is now, I think, called Benin. But, I was in Accra, and the Abeka village is where we stayed when we didn't stay on the water. And I've been to the Gulf of Guinea, but that was a long, 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 long time ago. But I remember it vividly.
So it left an impression on you.
Well, come on. Going to Africa, that's a whole different vibe. The whole thing left an impression on you because you had to get shots. You know, you travel on a plane. You have to transfer the plane. We spent the day in Amsterdam. And then you take the plane into Accra. We stayed for 9 weeks, so it was quite some time.
Would you go back there now? You have any desire?
I would go someplace that I haven't been.
Okay.
I would go someplace that I haven't been.
Yes.
I would go someplace that I haven't been. No, I don't have a real desire. I'd like to see the pyramids and, you know, the Dead Sea, the Eiffel Tower, and things that I haven't seen. Those are all on my bucket list.
Yeah. Well, since we don't have anybody else calling in to share their quotes, and I want to thank you all again for sharing your quotes, I just something popped in my head that it's not a very happy topic, but I want to ask about it because it's really bothering me. You know, we had the little incident in Tennessee. Well, oh, please let me restart that because it's not a little incident. It's a big one. A little infant baby was taken in to be circumcised, and they removed his penis and they lost it. And then there was an incident of a 17-year-old young man who has had his genitals ruptured, I believe. This is a recent incident. I'm not sure the state that happened in. Maybe Antoinette might know. And then there's a 26-year-old young man who just recently, I believe, with his father, who has cerebral palsy or something like that, his handshake, he dropped a cigarette on the ground, and a policeman, of course, accosted them, and the son tried to explain his father's condition and offered to pick the cigarette up, but instead the policeman charged him with a $1,000 littering fee or fine and ended up tasering the young man, 26 years old, in his groin area so many times that his flesh started to burn. What's up, people?
Are all the victims black?
Yes, to my knowledge. Is that right, Antoinette?
Excuse me, Sister Goni, did you bring up about the 17-year-old boy in, I believe it was Philadelphia, but I'll say Pennsylvania.
Yeah, go ahead.
You brought
that
up. And how the female police officer ruptured his testicles.
Yes, they ruptured and burnt the 26-year-old with the taser. And Antoinette, all three of those cases were black males, right?
Well, I know the one in Philadelphia was. He was a 17-year-old black male.
And
I'm sorry, Sister Agonia, I didn't hear when you were saying them because, you know, of course, my little lady came in, so.
Oh, no problem.
My attention. I'm sorry.
No problem. I just mentioned in Tennessee and the young man that was there with the father who had dropped a cigarette. I mean, that's, you know.
Repeating cases of black penis envy.
Well, also, is it eugenics, genocide?
Yeah. Yeah, I know it's not a happy topic, but
something, though. Well, I want to bring some more local cases. Here, if you look up A. Dwight Petty, he's a civil rights lawyer, right for Cedars in Baltimore. We have, and this has happened, police brutality. They even have a unit, and like local police departments, they even have budgets set out aside for victim cases. But there was an instance in Baltimore, people would ride dirt bikes illegally, and incident that a police officer caught these teenagers on dirt bikes. So what they did is they took them, they drove them all the way out, took their shoes, no coat, took all of them out, drove the teens all the way out, Ellicott City, all the way out in the county, and just left them there. And they had to find them out. So they won the case. The city further paid them the case. Now the city is saying that they don't have enough money for it, because it's going to go back on the taxpayers. So they won the case, but the lawyers are having trouble collecting the money from the city. See, but the point that I'm trying to make by saying all that is saying with this police brutalities, and because they're supposed to be sued, right, and if they find out they're being sued and prosecuted, who's paying it? Us, the taxpayers.
Well, okay.
You know,
Mike,
so they need to crack down on some stuff. That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
I guess
excuse me for cutting across both of y'all.
Go ahead.
But from ride class, they did. It was started in North Carolina against the police officers, where all police officers now, they're not being covered by the state or the county. They are considered a private entity, so they have to have their own insurance and everything to cover them, or you can go after them personally and sue them.
That just shows you how the municipalities and the court and the counties are got.
No.
That they can't. And they probably,
but in most cases, if you sue the city, for the city police department was getting city funds and has under city budget.
Yes, hey, but saying, yeah, Mike, they're not doing that now.
Yeah, it shows how
but it's still here in Maryland, though.
The counties are.
Yeah, they were doing that. I'm sorry, Beasley. They were doing that, but from Ron Klass's case, where it was proven that they even though from our eyes they work for the city, they work for the state, and so forth, but they are a private entity, a private company of their own. So they have to cover themselves.
Yeah.
Because they were even
that?
Telling police officers and everything to take everything out of your name. Because you can be sued for your actions.
Yeah, thank you, Antoinette. And excuse me for interrupting, but I want to invite Ebony. She's been holding. And I want to thank you all for that that dialogue, because it's very important to know about those things that are going on. I want to invite her in, and she has a quote of the day she wants to share with us. And since Mr. Talk left us with that topic, I'd like to honor it. So then we can, you know, if nobody else has any quotes, we can talk about open open topics. So welcome, Ebony, to the show, Mr. Talk Show.
Hi. Hi.
Hi
how
there.
Are you guys?
Good.
Well, hello, Ebony.
Hi, how are you? I've got a couple of quotes that I really like, and they're old ones that I always kind of revert to, I suppose, because I like relationships and the whole conversation about relationships. But there is a quote that I've had on my Facebook page for a long time. No relationship is ever perfect, and no, I'm far from perfect, but as long as you're willing to try, I'm willing to stay through anything. That's a quote. That's a love quote. And there's another one, which I guess people know. If you love something, let it go. If it comes back to you, it's yours. If it doesn't, it never was, and it's not meant to be. So I just wanted to share those.
Yes. Would you elaborate
on them
a little?
I'm perfect, Ebony.
Sorry?
I'm perfect, Ebony.
Would you elaborate on, you know, what your thoughts are about it a little bit?
Well, if you love something, the last one I just said, if you love something, let it go. I think, you know, people often, when they start to feel strongly about someone, they want to hold on. You want to hold on to that person. You almost want to spend every minute, every second around something that has your interest. And, you know, especially if your heart's feeling it, you know, it's really hard to let go. But I think that's the trick. The trick is to allow, that person, whoever it is, to have the freedom, you know, to do what they need to do with their lives. And for you to just be relaxed and happy to let them go and do whatever they need to do for them, and know that they will always come back if it's what it's meant to be.
Right.
Yeah,
and that's the same thing in the relationship, Ebony. And if you go back to your quote, if you go back to the other conversation that you had, if you take your quote, and let's say you're in a relationship between a man and a woman, if that woman does that or that man does that, they may not lose themselves, right? You're still letting that person have that freedom, because we don't want to get in a relationship. If you visualize yourself being with a significant other on the long term, you know, and being a commitment like that, husband or wife, however you want to label it or call it, right? We don't want to lose ourselves, so we still have to have that freedom. Certain things, for instance, there's certain decisions I may make personally in a relationship, she may make personally. She can't pick what kind of car I want to buy for myself. I work. I have my own resources. I can work. I can get a Mercedes-Benz. She can get her own car. But it's things that we need to come together. So you don't really want to lose yourself in a relationship. And I say that's what people do. So that's what I get with from your quote, though, Ebony. That's how I
okay.
see it.
Yeah, that's okay. The second one was really about, you know, relationships not really being perfect, and people accepting that they're not perfect either. And I think sometimes we project this thing about wanting the other person to live up to whatever our expectations may be, and wanting that person to be as perfect as we are not, okay? And things just kind of break down, because, you know, sometimes it's just our stuff always wanting more. But maybe I think accepting that we're not perfect, and, you know, if you're willing to try and I'm willing to try, there's a chance that we can work through anything that comes up during the time that we're together. And I think that's a great thought. It's one that people have to work towards, but it's a great thought.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know how people feel, but that's my thought. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. I wanted to ask you a question. If you, in your professional coaching, have you ever read or studied about peptides, love bombing, and gaslighting, that kind of thing? You ever heard those terms?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
nope.
Well, I'll leave that. We'll talk about that on your
I'll go look it up.
I'm sorry?
I'll go look it up.
Oh, yeah, you're going to get a good surprise. Yeah.
That's something.
Yeah, it's very interesting reading.
Is it
sexual? What was that, Michael?
Is it sexual? That sounds sexual.
No, actually, it's it has to do with hormones that are secreted in your brain. When you first are very attracted to someone and you spend a lot of time together and so forth and so on, that's called love bombing. And you actually secrete hormones in your brain that's called peptides. Hormone might not be the right scientific word.
It's a love drug. It's a natural love.
Is that like
pheromones? Well, pheromones are different, but they're related.
Endorphins.
Well, I'm sure you release endorphins and serotonin. And you know something? I read something.
Serotonin was the word I was thinking of.
On the mushy relationship stuff. And I was reading, it was an advice column. And what it told the person that, you know, you love this person gives you this special feeling, you know, this great feeling you got. But it's really not the person that you're addicted to or have to have. It's the feeling. And that you can and will find a feeling with someone else. And that you have to recognize and be able to separate, is it the feeling or is there this person who really isn't right for me that may be a bit toxic?
That's a good point, Mr. Beast. I'd like to interject.
I thought that was really interesting. And I got to thinking, you know, my own experiences. And I was like, you know what? It wasn't the best situation, and it wasn't really true compatibility. But it's the feeling, not necessarily the person. Because after time passes, I think, like, wow, why was I spun around over this person? And I see their physical qualities, not their other qualities. And then you find the same feeling with another person.
But Mr. Beasley, I want to.
Is it the same feeling though?
Excuse me, Michael.
Well,
it's a similar
chemical feeling. It's a similar.
I'm so sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, you guys. Before y'all go down the road, I wanted to just say one little thing to Mr. Beasley. What Mr. Beasley said about having that feeling and then realizing that maybe you're not compatible and then thinking that you can find that feeling with someone else. Isn't it true, Mr. Beasley, that feeling really is already inside of you, and the danger is in looking outside of yourself to find that feeling? What do you think about that?
Love yourself first. No, but I mean, no matter how much you love yourself or feel good about yourself, the those chemicals that are released when you're feeling love, it doesn't even have to be reciprocated love, but when you're feeling love for another person, I don't think it matches the feeling that you could have for yourself. But if you were to say that, you know, I think someone has to love themselves before they can love someone else adequately, I would agree with that.
But now let me make a point here. Remember you said there's an expiration date on that?
The expiration date on everything in life.
Yeah. Hey, go ahead, Ebony. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say that when there's nothing, there isn't a separation. When you're loving yourself, you can love someone as well. I mean, there's, you're loving yourself, and maybe what you're mirroring is that feeling with someone else. And maybe that love even for yourself is reflected in someone else. So I don't think there is a separation, but when you love yourself, it is so easy to love someone else because you know that you kind of know the extent of that feeling, how great it is for you. Because when you're talking about all the things that go on in your brain, all of that just gives you such great energy. Of course you're going to hold on to it. Of course you want to feel it, even more of it. And I think it is generated sometimes and supported by somebody who kind of says the right thing or is in, you know, just happens to be in the right place at the right time for you.
It happens.
So it is something about that person as well as it coming from you. I don't think it's just about you being in that love with yourself.
Well,
it is also about what that person expresses.
Well, I would put it a different way,
Ebony. I would say that it's not about separation or just about oneself, but it's about two people who love themselves and choose to share that love within themselves, reciprocal with each other. That's what I'm looking at. As opposed to externally, there is a quote by John Keats.
Yeah, I was going to say there is a quote by John Keats which says, two souls with but a single thought, two hearts that beat as one. So, you know, it sounds like exactly what you're saying. You know, you have the same thought and your hearts kind of beat together because you are both loving at the same time.
Right,
so,
but
well,
you're not
it, well,
around looking for somebody to plug your umbilical cord into.
Yeah.
Well, stupid people can love. I mean, there's a lot of people who give people, show people love, and they don't show themselves love. There's many, many people, they do it all the time. You may say that that's crazy. There's many people who don't let themselves commit suicide, and they say, hold up, why did that guy do that? He was a great guy. He was a nice guy. He treated me well. He showed me love, but he had some problems with himself.
That's the problem of the world.
Well, right. So what I'm saying
is, that's a real problem of the world.
As far as what, Beeson?
People that are unhappy and miserable and don't love themselves and you know, well, that would, you know, you're talking about a person that took out their anger and their miserableness on themselves.
This is an example. You're right. To get my point that some people can show other people love and don't love themselves. I'm saying a lot of people do that all the time. Most people don't do that, but in certain instances, I think we can point that out in life, right? But I hear Negoni, because Negoni, I think she's worried about don't get too attached with somebody, but actually it has to be a balance because I'm going to get pleasure from other people. I share this life with other people. When I do, quote, unquote, love myself, I'm going to show love to others. It's going to interact. So it has to be a balance. A woman is going to give me pleasure. Something outside of me is going to give me pleasure. Now, should I get too attached to it and worship it and make it my world? Like BZ is saying, listen, be strong. You know, she this you and leave it alone, go on. Yes, I shouldn't get too attached. So I should love myself. But other people is going to give me that, just like Ebony's saying. We can't, it's going to come outside of ourselves.
Yeah, but not there's certain types of pleasure. Enjoying someone's company and conversing with them doesn't compare to when you are in love with someone and those peptides and all those other chemical reactions happen that give you that. It happens once every 10 years for me, so I guess that's why.
Okay, what year are you on, Beasley? What year are you on?
It generally happens.
Yeah, you that 10 years. That's a long time, BZ.
I'll be fighting it, man. I'll be fighting. I try not to get derailed, but when it comes, you can't stop it. It generally happens with like a zero, 1990, 2000, 2010. So I'm good for a minute. That's what I found.
Oh, man.
You can reflect upon your life. You can figure these things out. It's a cycle.
Right. Well, they say everything happened every 3 years. Well, watch out for every three, they
people,
say.
Some people fall in love every 6 months.
Right. A seven-year
Yeah, by the
six,
time
man.
They're 50 watch years old, the they are a ball of confusion. They're a bunch of chaos and confusion. They got more baggage. They got baggage after baggage. They got more baggage than the San Francisco 49ers.
And you have none, Beasley?
I don't know. I don't think so. I've got boundaries. I don't think I have a
but
lot
I
of baggage.
Think in our age bracket, I think, you know, single in our age bracket right now, I think it's good because if we do get somebody, at least, you know, they should be set on what their ideologies are or what. Come on, they should be at least set. They don't have that much growing up to do. So I think we should, I think we got more chance to judge people. And I, what do y'all think about that? I mean, it's pros and cons of, you know.
I'm involved
that's
with someone that I can't discuss politics, world affairs, too much stuff about without keeping it light. He just doesn't care about those
kinds of things.
He just doesn't care about those kind of things.
Right.
Like Obama.
That's what I run into, too. That's what I run into, too.
And that's cool.
For anything else, business, but right. Exactly. And that's cool, right.
Ain't that cool.
His own.
I would rather discuss these things, you know. With the person.
You got to find someone who wants to talk about the stuff you want to talk about. But I don't know. I think people say opposites attract, but I think sometimes opposites can bore you to death. Really, that's the truth. You know. So
opposites attract, but they may not stay together.
Yeah, because opposites can be a right bore in the sense that, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes we want to find people that we're aligned to. So people who share some of the stuff that we have in life, because if you're going to spend, it's like when you go to work, okay, you go to work and you can spend most of your day with people. And, you know, when you're spending a good chunk of your life with people, you want them to be people that you don't mind being around. You might not always like them or you know, or enjoy being there, but it's got to have a certain level of harmony so that you feel like actually it's okay going there every day. And I think that's the same as someone in a relationship. They don't have to share everything. We don't have to be the best of friends always, but if I'm going to be with you the majority of the time and a good part of my life is going to be eaten up in a relationship with you, I got to have something that I enjoy about being with you. And it doesn't have to be everything, but it needs to be a good percentage, or else, you know, eventually someone's going to leave the nest. I just think it's hard to find someone who has everything in common, but I think, you know, a good amount makes a difference. The more, the better. I think, you know, when you share very little, it's hard. It gives you less reasons, I don't know, to want to be around people. I don't know.
Well, I'm just settling for sex and affection right now, so...
Well, East Coast had put a quote in the room, but he's not here now.
And I would like more than that, but that's really
East Coast.
And he's not here. I'm sorry, Beasley. But his quote is, "Where is the love?" Quote of the day: "Love thy neighbor as thyself."
Where is the love?
Mm-hmm. Oh, please, Mike. We already had some singing tonight.
Hey, y'all,
I tell you what, I laughed so much I nearly cried myself.
And it was not
good.
I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Antoinette requested.
Yes, I did. I was getting ready to say that, Beasley. That was my fault, Ebony.
I didn't want to let her down.
Oh, Lord.
Excuse me, guys.
So Mike, please, don't stop the singing.
Yes, Sister Gonia.
Excuse me for interrupting you. I want to bring Sister Ottawa on the line so she can join the conversation.
Oh, great.
Oh, lovely.
Welcome, Sister.
Hey, how's everybody?
All right.
Oh, well, good. How are you?
Good. I'm just
How
listening.
You doing, ma'am?
Everybody has good points. So.
You snowed
Do
in?
You have a quote you want to share with us today?
I know
one
you
on
do.
Us.
I know she does. I know she has a good one, too.
Let's see. What could I say?
Tell us something your grandmother told you.
Something my grandmother told me? Oh, my
yeah.
goodness. You all don't want to hear all that now.
Well, just one
yes,
of them.
Yes, I do.
Or the top five.
Or just something profound that's stuck in your mind, Ottawa, in your reading and your studies, you know?
Something in my studies. Well, I think I want to share is this, is knowledge is like the baobab tree. It cannot be contained by one person. We have to join hands to contain the baobab tree. We have to join hands to contain knowledge. That means that each of us has to contribute to knowledge. I cannot know it all by myself. So I guess I said that because in this setting of being on the internet and the brothers and sisters sharing, that is that piece there that I said in that quote. Knowledge is like the baobab tree. You cannot, no one person can contain it.
That's
good.
Do you all know what the baobab tree is? I saw him in
Senegal.
No,
I was going to ask her, what was that?
Well, that's a tree in Africa, and the roots of the tree are exposed. It's a humongous tree. And in some of these trees, they actually put, they will put the dead in the tree. Am I right, Ngoni? Don't they put the dead in the tree?
It's possible. I know those trees are spread out miles apart because when I saw them in Senegal, you know, Senegal is semi-desert. And I know that they use every single part of that tree for medicinal purposes or for something. They don't waste any of it. Yeah.
None of it. So that is my share.
Sister Ottawa, now, Sister Gonia said they also use it for medicinal purposes as well as putting the dead in them. So I guess putting the dead in it also helps to fertilize. Well, I know it helps fertilize the tree and the ground and everything like that. So is the medicinal, is that directly off the tree or what's growing around the tree? Is it the bark or something like that?
Yes, it could be the bark. It could be the inner wood. It could be the leaves, the wood.
Do you know what a couple of things that it does to heal?
Ngonia have to speak to the value. What the value is? I'm not sure.
Well, what is the value of putting the body in the tree? Because you were saying, Antoinette, it's for fertilizer. I think that would be more a pagan-like type of ceremony of putting a body in the tree, just for traditional purposes.
What you mean by pagan?
Huh?
More like a satanic thing, I'm thinking that he's saying.
Well,
but
no,
when you say the body in the tree,
pagan
you're saying that.
We're all
pagans.
I'm sorry,
Mike.
No, I wasn't calling it satanic. No, I wasn't calling it Satan. No,
okay,
I'm just saying,
Mike.
No, I would never. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to clarify. No, saying something is pagan is not saying it's satanic. I'm looking at the definition of the word, and I'm saying we all practice traditional, all cultures and ethnic traditions practice some type of paganism factually by their actions. No one's saying it's bad. Just look at the definition. So I'm just saying they do some type of ritual. If they put the dead bodies in the tree, that's a ritual. Just like any other ethnic group or culture that you can identify, they're doing the same types of things. That's all. I'm not saying nothing but a bad. It's indifferent to me.
Okay, well,
okay,
well
there's a little
word pagan. To me, it denotes
because
that you're talking about something very ancient.
That is an ancient thing, tradition, correct? I mean, I would think, I don't know, but I'm saying someone putting a body in an old tree, an ancient tree, and
they're
putting a body in it. But I know that, but I'm saying, okay, and that's a tradition, right. But everybody's
is
not in a tune.
Is it pagan?
The definition of pagan is this.
Yes. No. Hold on. Can I say something? Yes.
Go ahead.
Do we know why? Because everybody in the world is not put in a tomb. Certain cultures and ethnic groups, just like the pharaohs, look how they buried their kings. That's a certain type of tradition, certain symbols that said if you do this, if you represent this, this is going to have some type of effect. That's all.
Okay, excuse me for interrupting, but I want to
Excuse me, I want to bring Miss Mazin on the line, and y'all continue your conversation. Welcome, Miss Mazin.
Okay, someone was trying to speak, though, before Miss Mazin speaks.
Who?
Someone was trying to say something, and I don't remember who it was.
I don't see anybody else's hand up.
I was
going to
give the definition of pagan from the dictionary to make it
simple. Oh, yes, I do.
Excuse me,
guys, before you get started, let me welcome N2K to the call. Thank you, Antoinette, for pointing that out.
Oh, you're welcome,
well,
Sister Gonya.
Okay, Ms. Mays.
Hello.
You want to hear this song?
Hello, Mays. How are you today?
How's everybody?
I'm well, thank you.
Welcome, N2K. Maybe he stepped away.
Hello, N2K.
Well,
maybe
I'll just leave him
himself on mute.
Okay, you guys just go right ahead.
Yeah. Mays, do you have a quote today?
Oh, he was going to do paganism first, wasn't he?
Oh, okay,
go
ahead.
It says here, the dictionary, that it refers to polytheism, that you're a follower of polytheism, or one who has little or no religion, who delights in sensual pleasures and material goods, irreligious or hedonistic.
But hold on. If you go back to your definition, see, they played with that. Go back.
Say my definition.
No, I'm not talking about you, Beasley. No, I'm not talking about you. Don't take it personally. Let's just talk about
the topic. I'm taking it personally, but I didn't make this up, is what I'm saying.
I know that. So let's go back to what you read. I'm not talking about you. I want to talk about what you read. They
right.
said
I can't
little.
Just,
no, hold on. Listen, they said.
Well, can we get
little,
back to the tree?
Okay,
we were
okay,
having a discussion on
point.
The tree, not on paganism.
Oh, I thought.
Oh, can I get my quote now?
Yes, please, Mace.
One of them is live, laugh, and love. If you're living, you're having a good time. And if you're laughing, you're having a good time. And if you're loving, you're having a good time out of all those three. But you forgive and you forget and keep on going, regardless of what has been done to you. And that'll stop some of the envy, and it'll stop some of the misunderstanding if you keep it and going like that. That's my quote for today.
Not always easy,
but
that's a good quote.
That's our problem. Because now
bring
we're
a whole lot of things.
Hello?
Yes, I hear you, Sister Ottawa.
Okay, I was saying, you know, it's important for us not to forget. We can forgive, of course, but not to forget, because that's where we are right now. We're in a quandary where we don't know who we are. We don't know who our enemy is. We don't know our children. And that's because we are not paying attention to the past. We're not paying attention on how the past is connected to today. So we can't forget. We have to remember. We have to remember.
Some things we can't forget. It's like you had an argument with your best friend.
Oh,
she
I
did something to
that.
You. If you forgive her, she might be a better friend when y'all get back together.
Oh, absolutely. But I would forget an argument that I have with a friend. I might have an argument with a friend, talk to her 2 days from now, and not even know what the argument was about.
That's what I'm saying. Forget.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So that's how I live each and every day when I talk to people I don't know, those that I do know. They might say something to step on my toes, but I'm not going to harbor it. That's why I say I keep
Ms.
on pushing.
Are you finished, Mace?
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Nagone.
Yes, Michael.
Can I make a 30-second statement? I just had to resolve something because Ms. Ottawa was questioning me about something. I just want to just say something about the topic. That's all, real quick. When Beasley read his definition, see, it says someone with little or no religion. Now, let's go stop right there with that definition. See, they're playing, Mr. Goni. When you say someone has little religion, they're religious. See, how can you measure what little is? They're not more or less. So someone who has little religious beliefs, to me, religious. Then they say someone who has no religion. So we divide two people up, the religious people and non-religious people. That includes everybody in the world. Those two
That's
people.
That's a European definition, and it was written in the context of white supremacy. And so when we talk about people who are not having a religion that is sanctioned by the Catholic Church, then they are pagans. But when you look at religion, you will see that many of those pagan signs and symbols are indoctrinated in the religions that are sanctioned by the Western religions. It has been given back to us deceitfully because we cannot recognize our own signs and symbols and mythology.
Okay, Miss Ottawa, I agree with you, but just please listen to what you said.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. What you said, I'm not disagreeing with you. I said that all of us practice, I don't care if you're religious or non-religious, practice some type of paganism by the definition. You come and say, well, it's the European part. But if you listen to what you said that's their symbols, but then you say we should go back to our symbols. I say if I would agree with you to that, those symbols that you want me to go back to, it's still going to be defined as some type of paganism, because even though we're using different symbols, it's still a symbol. We're still adding
the language. This is the language of your slave master, and anything that's related to indigenous people is going to come off as demonic, criminal, savagery.
No, I'm just looking at the meaning, Ms. Ottawa.
I know what you're looking at
the
meaning. That's fine, but I'm saying it's defined as not your interest. Your interest is not in the definition.
No, the definition is speaking of an action. The definition is universal by the action. See, I'm not being biased by when I say I can look at someone as different traditions, representing symbols, having different ceremonies, just like the tree would be, or just like the cross, or whatever. It's still on the same. If you look at the definition, I'm just saying apply that definition of what they say pagan is and apply it to your life, and I guarantee you all of us practice some form of it. That's all I'm saying.
And I agree.
The primary definition.
So it's not a bad word. It's not a dirty word.
The primary definition was polytheistic, which means believing in more than one God. That's the primary definition.
Well, no. Well, hold up. No, but
how
were
you
going to
say no? I'm reading it.
Well, no. Not you, Beasley. Not you. I say is a contradiction then, because if you go back when you first read, it says little religion or non-religious. Non-religious people don't have no gods.
Definition.
So. No, if non-religion people don't believe in polytheism. They don't believe in multiple many gods, so it's a contradiction in its own definition. It's clear.
But a polytheistic person is considered a heathen.
That's right, and that's one of the first. You're exactly right, because that's the first word that comes after pagan. It says heathen. Then it says
someone that believes in a deity is a heathen.
Someone that believes in more than one, according to and what she's saying is right. That we're speaking English, and you know it's a European language, and it comes from a certain belief system, and it's gonna represent for a certain belief system. So she makes some sense. And heathen
right,
is the word that comes, and then it says a polytheistic person, a person that believes in more than one God. Then it speaks, the second definition after that, it speaks to a person who's not necessarily religious.
Right, so we can, right, so proves, right, so exactly, we're saying the same thing. So it doesn't necessarily have to be someone believing in a God.
So,
well, excuse me, Sister Agon, you just put a note in the chat room. That is 20 minutes left in the show. She's not going into overtime, and she's inviting folks to call in so that they can give their quotes. So could we get back to the quotes so that she can stay on the same accord that Mr. Talk wanted the discussion to be on today.
Okay.
If you would like another quote.
Thank you. Nobody has a quote?
Oh, well, I've got one.
Ohio had another.
Oh, wait a minute. I just heard someone say they had one.
What makes us perfect? Or are we perfect? Any of us? The big quote to say, what makes us perfect?
I don't think anything. I don't think we are perfect.
That's why I'm saying. So live, laugh, forgive, and forget if we're not perfect. Only perfect people do.
Are we perfect?
You know what, Maze?
No, we're not.
You know what, Maze?
I think perfect is subjective. Some may consider someone perfect.
You can't attain that, right?
Yeah. Your sister, you know what's trying to say something.
I was going to say, Miss Mays, I think we're perfect because we were created perfect, but when we come into this incarnation, we come in with a blank slate, and then the world writes on it, and then our behavior becomes imperfect. And we're taught and conditioned to think that we're not perfect and
yes,
that we cannot, that spiritual, you know, spiritual place.
Yes, and it's so like you, within our imperfect ways, the things that we did when we were young, we should change them when we get older and not
yes.
deal with that. And that's a lot of what we see and hear today.
Yeah, because we're conditioned to
yes.
believe that we were born in sin and that we are bad and that we have to repent and all of that. But I do think we have to change our ways because the world writes on our canvas and tells us we're no good.
That's
so then
right.
you go through life feeling like you're not good enough.
So should you prove the world wrong or go and do like the world wants you to do?
I think a person
that's
should
a good point.
Try to find their own path. I think it's an inner journey. I don't think you should be directed by the world. I think you should be aware of what's going on in the world, but your guidance should be from within.
Okay.
That's what I think, anyway.
Mm-hmm. I was just wondering.
Mm-hmm. That was good, Mace. I like that. That was really a thought-provoking quote. Wanted to make you think.
As my grandma always say, we are in the world, but not of the world.
Yep.
That's right.
And that's true.
Well, before we run out of time, I don't want to stop the flow of the conversation. I appreciate everybody's, you know, I wish I could have heard everything, but especially about the baobab tree, but I missed part of it, and everybody's quotes were just so great. And, you know, before I run out of time, well, I'm not going to quit right now, but I just want to jump in so you guys can keep on going. I'll probably go ahead about and see if third and take us out maybe in about 10 more minutes and play Mr. Talks music on the way out. And now I forgot what I was going to say. Okay, go ahead, y'all. Sorry.
Julie, please.
Can I ask her one question before she goes, please?
Okay, yeah. Yes, hold that thought. I wanted to thank my special guest for coming today, Brother Tshaka, and I want to thank everybody because you're all special guests on Mr. Talk Show, but I hadn't heard from Brother Tshaka in probably a good year or more. So
yes.
I thank you very much, and I thank all of you. So go ahead, Antoinette.
Oh, yeah, and before you close out the show, could you see if he has any closing words for us? But the question that I had,
thank you.
The question that I had was when Sister Ottawa said that they're buried in the tree, could you explain if you know exactly are they buried in the tree or on the grounds around the tree under the roots and the medicinal purposes from the tree?
Sounds like Avatar.
I never saw that movie.
You should see it. It relates to nature and humanity, and now they're intertwined.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Antoinette, were you directing that question
yes,
to anyone in particular?
I was asking you.
Oh, well, I don't know. I've heard the myth from Kemet, you know, Isis, Osiris, and Horus myth. that he was buried and dug up, but I don't know if he was, I think he was buried in a tree, but I'm not sure. About the baobab tree, I've never heard the myth about them burying anybody in the tree, but I'm not saying it's not correct. I'm just not aware of it. I'm sure Sister Ottawa knows more than I do about that.
Oh, I just mentioned that because that was given to me in the discussion about the tree. It's an ancient tree, and from what I gathered from what I was told, someone high up in the family hierarchy would be placed in the tree. Now, I might be wrong, and maybe there's some African out there that's listening who can tell you the story, but I was just actually just reciting the quote.
Yes. Well, I can tell you one thing, and thank you, Sister Ottawa, for that. I can tell you one thing, and I'm sure you'll agree, they really look ancient. I mean, I've never seen the redwood trees in California. Mr. Beasley probably has. But these baobab trees in Senegal, where I saw them at, you could just look at them and you know that they're something special. They are really ancient.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anybody else want to say anything? I'm done.
Well, Sister, I'm about to log off. Got to pick up my grandson. But I do have one more quote. If you want one,
please share with us.
Yes.
Okay. Now, this one is going to cause cognitive dissonance. Well, I have to put a disclaimer because it's true, and you can use it anywhere with anyone, preferably your highest scholar. But and it has to do with the Underground Railroad. It's a two-parter, and it goes this way: Have you ever heard of the Underground Railroad? Have you ever heard of it ending?
No.
Wow.
Silence. That's cognitive dissonance. Please think on that. I've got to run. Love y'all. Beautiful show. I'll be back. Love you. Thank you very much for the knowledge. Everybody, Mr. Beasley, don't know your brother, but I love you. Y'all take care.
Thank you, and much love to you, Brother Tshaka.
Mr. Antoinette, bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Well, folks, as you all
that was a great guest, Sister Gonya.
Yes, he was. I'm glad
he spoke
came
few words, but he was very good.
He spoke a lot of words, but he was good.
He wasn't lengthy in his presentation and, you know, with his information. He could have took the whole 2 hours.
And I want to thank you, too, again, Antoinette, for putting his Facebook page in the chat room, because he really has been working on that project for a number of years, and I think you might find it interesting.
Yes, I can't wait to go back and look at it.
Yes, ma'am. Well, with that, you all, it looks like a lot of people's calls have dropped. They're probably running to Ebony's show. She has a great show. I think today is Thursday, and she starts up in a few minutes, so I want to thank everyone again for coming, and I'm going to just go ahead and close out with Mr. Talk's mix.
Can I leave you guys with one more quote?
Yeah, you go ahead, Mr. Beasley. Yes,
you know what my
do.
Grandmother, grandfather, and my mother, everyone said all the time?
What was that?
Mama may have, Papa may have, and God bless the child as God is own.
Oh, you know, I've heard that before.
Billie Holiday.
They programmed that in your head.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah, I remember that one, too.
Every time you
asked Mr. Beasley, you know, that's a song.
When you were a kid, if you asked her for some toast or some more orange juice, she would say that. And it gets through to you. Got to get your own.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Mr. Beasley, you know, Billie Holiday sang that.
I know. They were, you know, they're from that era. They were big Billie.
Yeah, from that era. Yep.
Yeah, they were from that era. They were born in 1911.
Yep, they were telling us we can't be lazy.
Right. Go get your own.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. Well, thanks again, everyone. I'm going to take us out with some music, and thank you for making Mr. Talk Show pleasant and always interesting. So I'm going to say good evening. Here we go
good
with
evening.
The music.
It was a good show, Sister Gonya.
Your help
and
always.
And everyone.
Yes, everyone makes the show. Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Thank you.